you'll come back and celebrate the day. I'd like to take this moment to thank Serge Zadina, the incredible mayor of Imperial Beach, who has done things that no one in our government has been able to do to this date to try to clean up the Tijuana estuary. And he deserves a huge round of applause for his efforts. And we all need to get behind him and make sure we support him, because he has the ear of the people that matter now, and they need to know that he's not alone, and it's very important to all of us. I want to thank Serge for agreeing to say a few words and to MC this special occasion, and I'd like to give him a lay.
Thanks, Mary. Good morning, everybody. Aloha. You know, I was out in the water this morning, actually pulled up in the parking lot, and the surf's firing, at least for, you know, the end of October, right? Opening season for all of us who really think surf season starts now, at least in Southern California. Of course, Gary Linden's going to speak, and Gary knew exactly, like, you know, how many intervals. I was like, you know, my street cred was a little low because I said it was a wind swell, and Gary's, you know, educating me. No, there's two swells running in the water, and we got a 15-second northwest swell, and Mavericks broke. I had watched every cam on the coast yesterday, but sorry, Gary, that I failed to be adequately informed on the Scripps buoys that are offshore, that really, when we're talking about legacy, and it's an honor, and thank you, Mary, to talk about Walter Monk, arguably who may have had more influence on all of us who love the ocean and riding the swells in the ocean when we can actually figure out when it's going to happen, on his role, obviously, in surf forecasting, but his legacy of connecting us all about the blue planet that we love so much, that we thrive in, whether or not we were his colleagues in oceanography and doing groundbreaking science that has made the world a better place, whether or not he was connecting all of us who thrive riding those swells and being in the water that makes us healthier and happier, and more importantly, encouraging all of us who understand that we have to do more to protect and conserve Mother Ocean. That is our fundamental role and purpose here, is to really acknowledge that he connected all of us, right? And that's why we're here, to celebrate his life, his legacy, his family, and all of our passion for being in that amazing body of water. And so I want to thank all of you for being here and everyone who's agreed to speak. So in addition, Walter helped to create the Walter Monk Foundation, which is continuing his legacy of science, education, and discovery. And today we celebrate a legend who has touched so many lives, including the surf community. You know, for me personally, and there was a surf science conference here, I think it was more than a decade, where Walter gave a discussion and presentation on his fundamental role in tracking a southern hemisphere swell. I think it was back in the 1950s, from the Southern Ocean all the way up to Alaska. It's imprinted in my brain, the photos and the discussion, obviously based on his groundbreaking work in developing surf forecasting so that our allied troops could safely, because so many lost their lives, but could land on the beaches in Normandy and avoid so much would have been happening in North Africa when boats have been capsizing because they couldn't predict the surf. Personally for me, my mother was in London being bombed at the time. My father's family were being carted off to concentration camps and being eviscerated by the Nazis. So I always personally thanked Walter for helping to liberate Europe, to make sure that our troops were safe, and to play a fundamental role in world peace, right? And I think the US military and folks in Europe, especially his recent honoring in France, always acknowledge that. So can we give him a round of applause and thank him just for that alone? And the fact that we have buoys around the world that Scripps deploys, the fact that Mark Merrifield and his team at Scripps were able to, on the dot, predict this past winter when coastal flooding would hammer Imperial Beach, literally, precisely at the location, is a testament to Walter, but more importantly, the legacy of Scripps scientists who understand that applying science to rapidly helping people make the world a better place, whether it's our great San Diego lifeguards who can predict, who now have tools to predict swells and make sure that people are safer, to again to scientists and surfers and people around the world that need those up-to-date ocean conditions for their job. So with that, I want to thank all of you again for being here. I love talking to Walter, and I'll just share this story briefly. I was with Mary, and I think it was Octavio Roberto and someone else. We were at the house, I think it was last few years, and we were talking about ocean plastics and pollution and saving the planet, you know, easy stuff, right? And Walter at the end said, and I'm paraphrasing here, he said, you know, back in the 1940s, me and some others were tasked with the job of figuring out how to invade Europe and, you know, and figure out surf forecasting. And he goes, there's nothing that a group of a few small group of smart people can't do to change the world. And I said, yes, thank you. Oh my God, I was fired up for months after that. Yeah. So yeah. That was right. Yeah. I think that's what's so important about Gary being here is that you always need that guy on the beach just telling you to charge and paddle out. Like, and Walter was that person, right? The person that helped everybody paddle out. So anyway, that I want to introduce, we have a few speakers. Steph Hoffman, Garrett, followed by Gary Linden. Lieutenant Stan, you're going to speak. Are you going to speak about the ocean, the Mary's safety?
Call.
Okay. And then Byron Washam, and then we'll end. So Stephanie, are you here?
Yeah, I'm here. We have a couple more.
Great.
He's not going to get off the hook there.
Thank you, Serge. So when I first met Walter, and this was many years ago, he was marching up these steep stairs into my clinic. And I'm behind him, and I say, you know, can I help you? And right away, he turns around and says, I'm here to be tortured. I said, okay, this is going to be fun. And the torture went on and on. But little did I know how quickly I would become the student. Little did I know that the lessons from FLIP, the ocean research platform, to his travels in the South Pacific, and being paid in beers, or maybe he paid the chief of Samoa in beers. The story gets a little convoluted every time it's told. To Madame Curie and her curious genius, because he knew Madame Curie. And the stories went on. And I will always still hear Walter's defiant voice telling me to always ask the questions. He was such a scientist, but he was really just such an interesting person that was interested in what everyone was doing. Oftentimes, he would ask one of my patients who had a big laundry list of symptoms, Walter would ask the patient, what are you being tortured for? And my patient would go on with all their variety of things, and he would say to them, oh, if I could be so lucky. And so he really had a way of turning things around and making people feel a little better than maybe they were actually doing. Walter was a treasure for me, as he was to many of us. He was a once-in-a-lifetime friend who makes you smile just thinking about him. As he aged, he never lost what made him special, his wonderment. I think of him often as I work with aging patients, and I think about what his day looked like. Walter was always up way before all of us, even us early surfers. He went immediately to his lifelong problem on the computer, worked away, and then he'd be on conference call with the Pope or the Dalai Lama or somebody, and then back to his life problem, and then maybe a little nap, and then back to the life problem, and then back to a meeting at Scripps, and he'd end his day with some really good wine and cheese, and maybe back to his problem again. So he was always searching, always asking questions, and encouraging others to engage in what their purpose was or what was important to them. I try to model you, Walter. There's a bit to do here, a bunch of questions to be asked and answered. So we will take what you've taught us and never give up. And I think a lot of us who knew Walter realize how important that is. Now, my dear friend Rusty, sorry, Angie, couldn't get up early enough. So I have a small thing to read from Rusty Preisendorfer. Rusty knew him for 50 years, partially from his father who worked at Scripps and held him at the most respect. But what Rusty always remembers is his light spirit, his strong heart, and oftentimes Rusty and Walter were in my clinic together working out. So they had a little competition over who could push more weight. Walter always won, and Rusty was really envious of that. But what Rusty said is that he changed the way we all look at the ocean, not just as surfers, just as protectors of the planet. And Rusty wants to say to you, Mary, and to Walter, of course, thank you for changing the way we view this body of water that we all enjoy. And I think, John, you're up next. Is that the order?
Sure. Yeah, that's fine.
So let's let John talk to us a little bit.
Thank you. Feel privileged to be able to speak about Walter and Mary. And on behalf of all the lifeguards, really we got to know Dr. Monk as a fine-dressed gentleman that was very pleasant to talk to, that would walk the boardwalk every day. People got to know him, and somebody would say, oh, I think he's an instructor out at UCSD. And one day, it was in the winter and there was some rain. I was out on the boardwalk at the old Shores Tower, and he came walking by and we talked a little bit, and I said, oh, did you notice the geese over here on the lawn behind the Shores Tower? And he looked over and he says, well, those aren't geese. And I said, well, sure they are. Look at those long necks, and they're the geese, and they were this odd colored rust brown geese. He says, no, those are the ruddy ducks that have been coming to the shores. Every few years they come down here, mostly over to the pond at the beach and tennis club, but in the old days they used to come here to the estuary. I'd say, estuary, what's he talking about? But this was Dr. Monk, and of course I didn't know any better, but I accepted it, and I was happy to report to the other lifeguards, well, he's a bird expert from UCSD. So years would go by, and every so often we'd talk, and he would ask about the rip currents and what we were doing and kind of the operations that we had for the day, and I'd tell him some big calls. And one day, I'd make sure that he understood the effects of the rip currents. But one day, I was working on the Tsunami Ready project, which I would talk to Mary about separately sometimes. And he seemed very interested in the tsunami and the preparations we were making to put up the signs in La Jolla Shores. And I told him, the California Geologic Society Geologic Committee came down here and they made the inundation lines, and it shows this phase four threshold tsunami would come up to, nearly all the way up to La Jolla Shores Drive. And he looked at the map and he studied it, and we talked about the direction that would come. And he came into the Shores Tower at the downstairs, and he started to do a chart of a tsunami wave and why it was so different from a regular bigger wave, and how far the periods were apart and the orbital motion of a tsunami. And I was thinking, well, this guy seems to know a lot about breaking waves for a bird specialist. But we left the chart and the formula that he wrote on the Shores board. So we didn't have our schedule for a few days or the job duties, but we had Dr. Monk's diagram of a tsunami wave. And that was over the years, as I got to understand who he was and all of his accomplishments, we really appreciated what a fixture he was and all the events that we've had since then. Looking for a location for a NOAA class one time in coastal resilience, I reached out to Mary and she said, come up to see, she can come up to the house and have the class there. But we settled on a small building or a small room in the big building named after Dr. Monk. And that was very special, and I wanted to thank you for that. But I think overall, lifeguards and the community and a lot of people that have visited the shores we finally remember Dr. Monk as the very well-dressed gentleman with a great sense of humor and just a very happy and precious individual that we could talk to every day, and we dearly miss him. Thank you.
Now we have Gary Linden. Gary, is it his sweatshirt?
Yeah, this is my dress-up attire. Sorry, Serge. It's hard to follow such great speeches. I mean, I never had the fortunate to have met Walter Monk and actually didn't really know too much about him or all the wonderful things that he's done. for the last few months. So I'm here more on a learning experience than anything else. And I hope to take away some of the great accomplishments that he made in his life and share them with the surfers that they affect and impact on a daily basis. For myself, I founded the Big Wave World Tour, and my whole operation was dependent on predicting when the swells would be good. What was a period? I'm not a very scientific person. I'm mostly touch and feel kind of thing, you know, and I've shaped surfboards all my life. So learning about science in this way was essential. And the guidance, you know, that I had, that you know, there's a predictability. And Serge pointed out that I knew a little bit today. It sounded like I knew something, but it's really simple. We now have access to have cameras to show how the swell is. We have access to what the wind's going to be like, what the swell's going to be, and we can actually predict our lives. So instead of showing up at the beach in the morning and going, okay, I'm going to go out today, we can actually go, I'm going to take this board, I'm going to go to that spot, and I'm going to surf at this time. You could even almost predict when the best waves of the day are going to be. So if you're in that heat during the day, you have a good chance of winning. You'll get the biggest waves. But I think the biggest thing is, like we've been heard from all the other speakers, is the overall impact about ocean awareness that Walter made on all of us. We're all affected by it. Whether you're a surfer, whether you go to the beach and your kids are, you know, worried about getting sucked out by a tidal surge or something, it's all dependent upon knowledge that we have of the ocean, and nothing greater than saving our troops. So I hope to take back from this, the awareness, share it with all the rest of the surfers in our community are using this knowledge on a daily basis. And I want to thank so much for having the honor of being able to speak with you. Thank you, Mary. And aloha.
So I made an egregious error. Kimakeo has come all the way from Hawaii to celebrate Walter. And I want Kimakeo to know he's my hero. And thank you so much. And I'd like Tim Gaudet to say a few words. And then there's a few others.
Thank you, Mary. Aloha. Let's first off start by giving Mary a round of applause for this great celebration. So for those who don't know me, my name is Tim Gaudet. I am the Deputy Administrator at the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. So it's my National Weather Service that runs the Tsunami Warning Program. And they benefit from all the great science that Walter did. And this has just been an extraordinary week to celebrate this incredible man. We started here in the middle of the week, and we conducted a great science symposium to go through all the scientific accomplishments that Walter achieved through his long career. And you know, we spent a day doing it, and we only scratched the surface, but it was attended by some very senior people, the Scripps director being one, Margaret Linen. So I certainly want to welcome you here on her behalf. And then we had a wonderful evening last night where we didn't talk about the science. What we really talked mostly about is his humanity, his stature as a human being and a person, whereas our lifeguard here said so well that he was just such a pleasure to be with, and he always took time for people. He listened to students at the most junior levels, in addition to presidents and senior statesmen. He was that kind of person, and I benefited from that personally because I was a graduate student here at Scripps 30 years ago, and I was just astonished that this incredible figure would invite people like me to his home and actually be interested in what we had to say and our ideas. And he never lost that curiosity until his final day. So he's a role model for everybody in that respect on what it means to be a person, in addition to being a scientist. But I'll tell you the one thing I like the most, and that's what we're celebrating here today, is I guess the third round of this, is that it's not the science, not necessarily the people, but it's actually getting in the water. He was a field guy. He loved to get his hands wet and dirty. And so that's what we're going to do today. We're going to get salty, and we're going to do what Walter would have done. So thank you all very much.
Thanks. And now we have Byron Washam. Byron here.
Good morning and aloha.
It's hard to be here.
I'm here to celebrate not Walter's brain, but his heart. He is as much of a genius from the heart as he was from the brain. I just lost my props here, but the students are now in the back. As Tim just alluded to, his reach to everyone, his reach to the people as young as they possibly could be, was Walter. And those young people then became graduate students, like Tim and others that have preceded him. And so I'm in the Vice Chancellor's office here at UC San Diego. His legacy will live, not for years, not for decades, but centuries. And he will forever be known as the person who had just continued to work. And he's an inspiration to all of us. And I'm reminded of a New York Times article that first tagged him as the Einstein of the oceans. But he never retired from UC San Diego at 101. And he was asked, why haven't you retired? And his answer was simple. My work is not yet finished. So I employ all of you to continue Walter's work. And thank you for being here today.
Thank you, Byron. That's really moving. And now we have the pleasure to introduce Kim O'Kale.
At this time, I would like for all of you guys to make a large circle, please. Mary, would you come up here, and all the speakers this morning come up here, and all the speakers last night come up here. Tim, please come up here. All of you guys go make a large circle out there and grab your hands together. When you're walking out there, think about Walter. Think about today that it's not a sad day, it's a really happy day. We're here to celebrate his life. And the reason I want you in a circle, I want you to each grab each other's hand. Make a big circle for Walter. Get the circle as big as possible, guys. We only have a few minutes to do this, so I'd like for you to just pay attention. How I say ho'oloi, listen.